be that.
Did Cuppy jump?
Thinking about the topic, I think since I was, I guess, 17, it was the last night of the Sarachek tournament, right? That was my year. I played for MTA back in the day. We, those that, well, did you, but the famous Tamir Goodman game, when he was a sophomore, it's like his first big game in the Sarachek, people actually like heard of him. So we played him that year in the Sarachek. I was a senior, he was a sophomore, and we won that game on Sunday. Very exciting. And then the next day was the finals, right? We were playing against Yule. So I was dorming in MTA at the time, so I went like late at night. I was shooting in the in the gym at YU, and I was like thinking to myself, wow, like tomorrow's like my last game, like ever. You know, like tomorrow's gonna be, that's the last time playing, right? And all the years of practice to become like somewhat decent at this, like, did I actually enjoy that, or was it all just in order to be able to play varsity? It's like, in order to be able to be good at this, so that's why I did this. But like, it wasn't really inherently valuable or that I enjoyed about it. I was like, am I gonna still want to come to the gym like tomorrow night to practice my free throws and to do all that kind of stuff? So I was able to, after that, play a couple summers at Marsha and sports staff, and continued to play a couple years later, whatever. And like, actually, like, did like playing basketball, I realized, after that. But the same thing, I think, guys here, well, Gabe's turning 30, I assume we're all sort of around the same age. Sort of as we head into this era, it's sort of like, okay, I'm like well out of yeshiva. Right? Now I have, right, a couple of kids, Baruch Hashem. This is probably the busiest decade of your life that is coming up, and in some ways the most pressure, right? That's in terms of, like, we don't have money necessarily to fall back on. This is the most intense time in terms of tuition payments, although, you know, then you get to high school and later on it becomes. But this is the time all of a sudden there's like a significant responsibility that is upon us, and it takes a lot of time. And then we're left with, you know, Shirim, Talmud Torah, davening, and if you're schlepping yourself, we have like a pretty decent system nowadays for like how to get this stuff done, to have like Shirim before davening, Kol Boker, to have Night Seder or Smichas Chaver, or all these kinds of things that were all really good. But then as it takes to schlep yourself out to them, it's like, oh, like why am I doing this again? And because I'm an Ovid Hashem, and I can't wait to serve the Rabbonu Shalom. So if I was a tzaddik, that's what I would think every morning. I mean, I give daf yomi every morning in my shiur, 5:40, in theory at 5:45, that's like ideally. Once in a while at 5:45, often a couple minutes later. But it's like, why am I doing this right now? I'm doing this because I can't wait to crack open Nedarim daf samachay, or is it because I'm paid to be the rabbi of shul, this is kind of what I have to do. I guess I want to be able to do this in theory, but like, the idea of finishing the Nedarim is not exactly what's motivating me at 5:45 to be able to get to shul at that time. So like, is that okay or is that not okay? Is this like something that I'm like integrally really impressed with and excited about? Or is like, well, this is the lifestyle that I have, and I want my kids to do whatever my kids do, and and that's really why. And like, and then is that okay? Like, should I feel depressed? Like, I'm not necessarily all the time doing things like lishma. The word lishma like sort of comes out. Are these other types of things, is that considered to be low lishma? Is that considered to be worse? Is that considered to be better? Like, what's going on? So like, maybe think, is like far side? It's like people have heard, we have like real bikias in the far side if you're, I guess, 10 years younger than me.
I think I read through all of them.
You probably got through all of them at some point. Right, so here, right, you know, Sid, I really like bananas. I mean, I know, that's not profound or nothing. Heck, we all do. But for me, I think it goes far beyond that. Like, are we just like bananas because, like, heck, we all do? Like, that's what we do? Or, like, is there something more integral to it? So that's what I, like, and what is that? Like, what is that idea that we're seeking? So this, has become my custom, the thought comes to me usually like Yom Kippur is coming, and trying to think about what am I going to speak about Shabbos Shuvah, and if it gets too close, I call my friend in Dallas, who has prepared his 2 months in advance. So you're like, what are you speaking about? But actually, we came across Daf Yomi, this Gemara Masechet Ketuvos, which raised the question. Nobody on the page seemed to discuss it. I'm like, oh, that was a nice takeoff point, right? But this idea is found elsewhere. But just this is happens to be what I came across. It talks about Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai, that he was on a chamor and he was leaving Yerushalayim, and there were tamidim that were along with him, and he saw this one girl who was collecting barley grains from the glali behemoth and shalarvayim, from the excrement of the donkeys. This is the time of the korban. So she saw her, right? So she nisafa b'sarva amdolafanov amrlo. She says. This girl says, Rebbe, partisani. She says, give me money. Like, I'm collecting barley. Maybe you have some money to give me. So he says to her, who are you? So Amrullah, she says, Bat Nakdimun Ben Gurion on you. Right? I'm the daughter of Nakdimun Ben Gurion. So Nakdimun Ben Gurion, he pops up in Shas. He's like in the realm of Kalva Savua. He's like one of these really rich people. So that's Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai says, wow, Ashreichem Yisrael, that when we're doing what we're supposed to do, so nobody could touch us. But when we're not, even the really rich girls are now collecting barley from the donkeys. So, like, that's Ashreinu. Okay, fine, that's another time. But then he asks, right, Vatanya, the Gemara says, wait a second, Vakdim Ben Gurion lo avat staka. Oh, sorry, he asks, right, Belia, Uma Shfela el Viyad Behemothan Shil Shfela. So Vakdim Ben Gurion lo avat staka. So the Gemara asks, wait a second, Vakdim Ben Gurion didn't give staka, right, which I forgot, it connects it to that. He didn't give staka. I think the Gemara right before that might say that. He didn't give staka. So Vatanya, but the Brisa says, Amro lo avat Vakdim Ben Gurion, Shayotim Basil Vase Medrish, Kli Milas Hayu Matsian Takla, Luvayan Anin Umakaflin Osome Akharov. Right, when he used to go to the Beis Medrash, he used to lay out this carpet for him, and then the Aniyim used to come and cut up pieces of the carpet, and that's how they were able to make their living. This carpet was so expensive that they were able to get it and be able to sell it and be able to make a living off it. Meaning he was doing this in order to give them tzedakah. So it sounds like he was a pretty good Baal Tzedakah. So the Gemara says, well, Ibei Seim Kedibayle Lemi Aved Lo Avod. Wait a second. So the Gemara says one possibility is he was doing it for his own kavod. Or so okay, could have done more. Fine. But the first answer is what he was doing it for his own kavod. So what? Like, isn't that like a good thing? In fact, right, many people feel a little strange about like putting names when you donate things and you put names on in order to demonstrate. So there is a rashva that says, no, that's like a good idea to do that. Put your name attached to it, plus that pressures other people to give, that will remember you, Zachor Latov, all these kinds of things. So why is Nakdumim Ben Gurion, why is he getting in trouble for doing it l'chvodo? Right? Doing it l'chvodo sounds like pretty decent, if not the best, pretty decent. Start looking around. And what we come across is actually a third mission in Masechet Perkei Avos, in Perkei Avos, right? Atignos Ishsocho, Kabo Mishimon Atzadik, Huaya Omer, Altiyu Kavadim Hashamshir Meserav Amenasa Kabo Pras, Alhavu Kavadim Hashamshir Meserav Shel, Lo Amenasa Kabo Pras. Don't be somebody who does work in order to receive reward. Rather, you should do it. You should be like servants that do things not in order to receive reward. So, okay, like, we sort of get that. Is that ideal? Is that best? Is that the best? Is that like what is that? So, truth is, there is a whole backstory to this Mishnah, which I didn't realize beforehand. Atignus Ishsocho, right? So that already the name tells us this is like an early person. So this is still during the time, like, well, Romans like Beis Hamikdash standing. So the Mishnah Avos Rabbi Nasan pulls in like a little bit of the backstory here that he had two talmidim that were there, Atigus Yishocho, and they taught this to their Talmidim and their students, and Undu Vidiktu Achareim, V'amru Marav Usenu Lomer Davarzeh. They were like, wait a second, right? Why should that be? Right? Who said this? That we're not going to get reward for the things that we do? Right? Po'al Malacha Kol Ayom V'lo Yitos Charo Arvis. What? That these workers do this work the entire day and they're not going to get paid? Right? Why? Of course we should get a reward. Ella Ilu hayu yodin avusein sheish olam acher viyish tachias amesim lo ayu omrim kach. That had our forefathers known that there is sheish olam acher viyish tachias amesim, right? They would never have said this, right? There has to be. So amdu pershim in Torah. So they got up and they said, you know, forget it. We're out. We're not getting any reward. Right, they believe, right, the whole premise is that there is an Olam Haba, that we are supposed to get reward, that we do this in order to be able to get rewarded one day. So they separated from the Torah, and they caused two big breaks, the Tzedukim and the Vaitusim, right? And what do we learn about the Tzedukim and the Vaitusim, right? They threw away the Torah Shebaal Peh. And that's what the others were being Nasan, the Rambam also, that's the part that got cut out, This is the abridged version, of course. But the Rambam himself writes that as well, that this is what brought about the Tzedukim and Baitus, which are known for rejecting Torah Shebaal Peh. Right? So what is this about, the rejecting of reward that then leads to the Torah Shebaal Peh, the rejection of Torah Shebaal Peh? Why specifically that? So, first of all, take a step back, right? We know there are plenty of Gemaras that seem to indicate the other way, right? The most famous one being on page number 4 here. L'yolim yasak adam etorah mitzvos afal pi shalol lishma. You should always do Torah mitzvos even if it's not lishma. Shemihok shalol lishma, fal lishma, right? If it wasn't lishma, it will come lishma. So even though I'm not like totally altruistic about, yes, I can't wait to learn and to teach at 5:45 in the morning, do it anyways for whatever alternative reward you potentially are getting, because we took shalol lishma, fal lishma. Bar Masechas Nazir seems to indicate a similar type of sentiment, not necessarily putting it l'chatchila, but more, a little bit more b'di'eved. Talks about a guy who ate the korban Pesach b'di'eved, quotes the pasuk, right? Yisharim darchei Hashem, Rav Tzadikim yelchu bam, poshim michashlu bam. Right, which is famous. Well, that takes us way off. But, right, the straight are the ways of Hashem, the tzaddikim walk in it, the poshim fail in it, like two people who eat the korban Pesach. One of them eats it for a mitzvah, and that's all wonderful, and one of them eats it l'shem achilas gasa. So the guy who's doing it for the mitzvah, he's the tzaddik, and the one who eats it achilas gasa, he's the posher. He's the guy who's doing bad. Right, he's the one who's eating it in a not nice way. So Rish Lakish says, what do you mean? Right, it's interesting, it's Rish Lakish, right? I'm saying this, but what do you mean? Hi, Russia, Karis. Like, why are you, like, I was a Russia, right? Rish Lakish says, I know what it's like to be a Russia. That guy, the Deloka Avid Mitzvah Mufchar, Pesach Miyaka Avid. He says, okay, fine. So he's not eating it in the best way. He's doing the mitzvah, right? And that's accepted, right? The Gemara moves on from there. Says, oh, you're right. It comes up with another way why the guy's going to be a Russia. So, right, we are in favor of doing mitzvahs. It sounds like even in order to be mekabel pras, even in order to be able to, to be able to get some kind of reward that is going to come out of it. So, where are we? So part of the issue is that lo lishma, some of these words get used interchangeably, right? There's lo lishma, there's mekabel pras, there's for the sake of some other reason, right? So all these sort of get mixed in together, and they potentially can mean different things, right? In Rabbi Lam's book about Rav Chaim Volozhiner, or Torah Lishma, so it has a whole chapter on like the different interpretations of what Lishma means. Those that are Rabbi, you can't really find it so much, but we have one of Rabbi Lam's grandchildren lives in Philadelphia, so he's able to get a hold of that. Rabbi Nathan Slifkin has a whole, writes about this somewhat regularly, that the whole idea of Torah Lishma that Rav Chaim Volozhiner had is different than what other people had. Right, so this word, the word just Lishma, right, what does it mean? For the sake of Hashem, I guess, right, for his name, right, so that could have different meanings in different contexts. So let's try to break down a couple of categories here. Number one, that there's a Tosfos Maseches Pesachim that deals with on that Gemara about the Mitok Shalol Lishma Balishma. The Gemara asks, wait a second, there's a Gemara Maseches Brachos that says, Kola Osik Betorah Shalol Lishma, Noach Lo Shalol Nivra, right? Better if it had not been created, right? So, I don't know, that's a pretty good, I don't know, why is, that's pretty bad, right? Better it had not been created than to do Torah not Lishma. But we just got through saying, you should do it, Mitok Shalol Lishma Balishma. So which one is it? So the Gemara Satosu says, well, one is Lekanter, one of them is to sort of to counter other people, to argue on other people, to make other people look bad. So that's the bad lo lishma, right? When you come and say I want to learn in order to stump the rabbi, I guess I'm not sure even if that's not necessarily so bad as a rabbi, I could say that. But halvai, they should actually be thinking about it, right? But if you're coming with some kind of alternative purpose that really is coming to undermine things, right? That sounds like it's a problem. The guy who's lo lishma, that he just is looking to, you know, I'm learning for this vechina. Why? So I could get into kolal. So I could get paid a little bit extra. So that I can get the certificate from Smichas Chaver. So that I can all those kinds of things. That's okay. That's not so bad. That would be the example of mitok shelo lishma balishma. How do we tell the difference between? That's the bad lo lishma. Bad lo lishma is a negative thing. Then we have something called, then there's a tshuva of the Meshiv Davar here. The Meshiv Davar is asked the following question. Meshiv Davar is a Netziv. The Netziv is asked, that a person had a child. Gabe, maybe you want to think about doing this. And the guy took a neder when he had a baby boy. To separate a little bit of money every week for 18 years until the kid turns 18. Sefer Torah. That after he collects, and when the kid turns 18, so he'll go into that pot of money and say, oh, I have money in order to purchase a Sefer Torah on behalf of this kid. So, like, that's great. That was he decided to do. So he's separating money. A year goes by, 2 years go by, 2.5 years goes by, and then Nevach the child does. Right? So now the guy's wondering, okay, now what happens to my neder, what happens to my commitment to raise money for the next 15 and a half years, right? So so does he have to go and continue in order to make those payments, file the shows, his king is far, or should he change it? And buy it? Hey, what does he do with future money? And what does he do with the money that he has already collected now? If he use it for other things? So there is a Ramah that the Netziv points to. This is not the whole tshuva. There is a Ramah that points to that if you said explicitly that I'm doing this contingent on this kid being able to grow and be able to do that, and if the kid is not going to grow, and if the kid's not going to be alive or whatever it is, so then we're going to separate, we're not going to do it anymore. It says, okay, so the Ramah says you're exempt, meaning you did a neder al tanai. The tanai is not being fulfilled anymore. So that's it. You're off the hook. What if you didn't explicitly say the tanai? I mean, what if the guy says, I'm going to do it until 18, until for next 18 years, I'm going to collect every week, and not necessarily putting it in the language of your neder that we're going to do it. So the Tziv says, well, he says, when it comes to some things, example he gives here is, Misha tells in Darim, if you're a Konan, I'm not going to go to that house because there's a Kelev that lives there. What if the Kelev dies? So now you're exempt from it. He says, but that's not a mitzvah. There's no mitzvah to go into the house. So what about if in the case of a mitzvah? So there Netziv says, then perhaps you should continue it. Now, how do you know whether it was contingent or whether it was not? So he says, do you look back at those times that you were separating the money, and do you say, oh, it was a waste of money, I can't believe I did it for all those years? Probably not, hopefully, that's it, says. Hopefully not. Hopefully you don't look back at those times and you say, and say that was a waste. Rather you say, okay, it didn't work for me, or whatever, I appreciated that stucco that I put aside. Hopefully we'll get to whether you have to continue or not, it's unclear. But certainly when it goes to the past, say that the whole thing is butl, is nullified now the kid's alive. So Netziv says, I don't think so, because you weren't really doing it contingent. You were doing it as a mitzvah. Yes, it's true what motivated you perhaps to do the mitzvah was because you wanted to do it on behalf of your child. But okay. Do you look back on it and say, oh, I wish I hadn't done it? If there's, we had the experience in our shul, terrible experience. We had a 16-year-old who passed away in the last couple of weeks ago. In the, he was diagnosed last January. So it was pretty much 10 and a half months of this kid probably not having a chance, but with all the tilim rallies and all the tzedakah that is given, all the things that were done in his chus and all of those types of things that were done on his behalf. So now do we look back at that and say, it was all a waste. I can't believe we spent all the time trying to do things on behalf of this kid. Or do we say, we grew from all of those things. Whatever it is that we got as a community. The community is definitely different. My shul is definitely different as a result. The community as a whole is definitely different as a result of this experience that we all went through together. And yeah, we regret obviously what happened with that child and with his family, etc. But I don't think we regret any of the maisim, any of the things that were done that are continuously done. Baharai, what's the proof? That they continue to do it, especially the family themselves. They're continuing the things that the father took on. He continues it. He's still doing it as a result, those extra things they took on. So that's what Netziv is pointing to. When it comes to a Dvar Mitzvah, yes, it's true what motivated you to be able to get into that place might be in order to accomplish this or accomplish that, but you don't regret it just because that thing was pulled away. So he says that would be a very good sign. So now back to our fellow here, Nachdimun Ben Gurion. What's the story with him? So the Marsha in that Gemara says, that was pretty bad. What was his story? So in the middle there, in the middle of that Marsha, he says, "Hai shlo lishma l'chavud hu garatfei." He says he's doing it l'chavud. He says that's worse. Why? Right? Based on that Tosum Sechas Psachim that makes that distinction. Right? He's in that category. Why? Because it was solely Lakavod. At least that's the suggestion that the Marsha is making, which is implied by the Gemara, saying this guy was a big Rasha, so you have to come up with some reason that he was a big Rasha. So the Marsha says, it must be, what he was doing, it was solely Lakavod, was mainly Lakavod, was that was the goal. And then we come and says, you know, by the way, you didn't, people don't respect you anyways, you aren't getting any Kavod, he would have regretted the cutting up of giving away all that money over the course of that time. So, and then Marsha continues on and says, he says, V'rabim b'dor hazeh, he says, in our generation, we have a lot of people like this, shemekapsin osher shalehem, shelo be'emuna, uvechil Hashem, kegazel sover kuchav. We have people that raised money, that got money, without, not properly, with vechil Hashem's, and with gezela, stealing from non-Jews, v'achar kach misdadvim me'osu mamun liyos lahem, covered b'chol shana, and then they give from that money in order to get covered all year long. V'atit lahem brachas mishaberach, in order to get a bracha mishaberach, in order to do all that. Lios lahem shem b'tiferes. V'ein ze ele mitzvah haba b'yaveir. Says, that's a mitzvah haba b'yaveir. V'ein le'osher hazeh melach v'kiyum k'damar hacha. And that's not going to be something that is going to have any kiyum, that's going to last from it, because that was coming, that's not coming from a good place, right? It's coming from a contradictory, it's coming from a contradictory place, that you're trying to get kavod and trying to sort of pay off the other guilt that perhaps you're feeling from the other maaserayim that you are doing. So the truth is, after sort of working through this myself, I came across and realized that Mesillas Yesharim actually kind of puts a lot of this stuff together. In Perek Tes Zayin, it is, that's the Shar Hatara, the Shar of, purity. It says v'ulam, and he says sheishminim shonim. There's many different types of lo lishma. It says harami kulam, the worst, who sheinenu over l'shem avoda klal. You're not doing it at all. El l'ramus b'nei adam l'raviach kavod o mamun. Right? You're just trying to trick people, right? And they're able to get kavod or mamun for it. So, you know, that guy who's sort of struggling and saying, it is hard for me to do, I'm going to go anyways, what are my friends going to think of me, or things like that, right? I don't think that that's that category, right? This is the guy who's saying, I'm going like a Bernie Madoff type guy, right? Who gets on the board of some prestigious organization in order to prove to people that, you see, I'm a big tzaddik, and therefore you should invest with me, and then I'm going to steal all your money, right? That seems to be that guy, right? So hopefully we're not in that category. So v'zesh amrulo, and that's what he's saying to you, shami Noach lo shenechvash lilaso alpanam, that the placenta should be thrown. I'm not sure what that image is supposed to tell us, but it's not good, right? Whatever that Yerushalmi is telling us. Ve'alav amar Navi, Rav Nehi ketami kulanu uchabeged edim kol tzitko sein, right? That's what Navi is telling us, that we're going to be, we're all going to be tame, and the beggar will edim kol tzitko, I'm not sure what, how he got that. All right, well, let's move out to there. The Yishmin Acher, and then there's another guy, Shal Shalol Lishma, Shehu Avoda Al Menas L'Kabel Pras. Right, he's doing things in order to receive reward. And that's what the Gemara says, do it. Liolam Yasov Adam B'Tov HaMitzos V'Afilu Shalol Lishma, Shemito Shalol Lishma, Bal Lishma. Right, that's what the Gemara is telling us. He's doing things, perhaps there's an ulterior motive, but ultimately what he wants is to be able to come out well. There is a commentary on Maseilas Yesharim that just came out by Rav Moshe Kleiman. Who here has heard of Rav Moshe Kleiman? I assume nobody. Yeah. It happens to be a cousin of mine. That's the only way I've heard. He was, anybody there, you went to Torah Shraga, right? Torah Shraga. So up the hill is Teres Yisrael, right in Bayit Vegan. So he, you know what I was talking about? No? All right. So you know what I'm talking about? No? Up the hill, there's a pretty large yeshiva called the Teres Yisrael. So he was the Mashkiach there. He recently switched to the one that has all the money now. Teres Shlomo, right? Yeah. He recently switched there. So his family was responsible for my grandfather having a place to get out of Europe many, you know, years ago. So anyway, so he recently wrote a parish. It was his COVID project was to print a commentary on Maseilas Yesharim. And he gets into, in his commentary, he writes, trying to figure out these different, you know, what is, what isn't considered to be shelo lishma. And the underlying part, right, he says, v'nir sheyesh l'chalik bein limud shelo lishma levein avodas Hashem shelo lishma. He says, maybe you could distinguish between learning lo lishma, which the Gemara seems to say good, as opposed to avodas Hashem shelo lishma. Shalomit shelo lishma, you're going to get something out of the limud. Similarly, with the ma'isa mitzvah, you'll get something out of the mitzvah, even if it was lo lishma, not for the ideal purposes. But mikol makom kedusha torah view lilmud lishma ulam ba'avodas Hashem shalom muspin divrei rabenu. That's what the Messias Yesharim is talking about. Ba im ovid shelo lishma azay ena avodas Hashem klal elaziyuf kishem hakavana hi ha'ikar. Right. When it comes to what's my overall view on life, I mean, what am I? When it comes to doing a ma'isa mitzvah, what's dragging me to get to minyan? What's dragging me to do this? So okay, I have this peer pressure. I have that reward. I have these things that I'm trying to do, right? So that's fine. But overall, when it comes to life, what am I trying to get to? What am I overall doing? It says, overall, that you need to be having some semblance of connection to Rabbeinu Shlomo. If that's not happening, so then you're in a lot of trouble. In fact, that gets to some of the other, another difficult Gemara, the Daf Yomi people. We'll get up to this soon. The Gemara at the end of Maseches Nedarim, that says that why was the Beis HaMikdash destroyed? Was the people didn't say Birchas HaTorah? That doesn't sound like it's too bad, right? So what's so bad about there? So the Ran speaks about they were lacking Chashivas HaTorah. Now there's a question why the Ran, Rav Moshe has a tshuva on this topic, yeah, like the early tshuvas of Rav Moshe, where he's like not necessarily handling it like a Lamaisa question. He's just like talking and learning, like some sense of like a question, just how do you learn pshat in this, right? So he was asked, why is it that the Ran quotes Rabbeinu Yonah when there's a Rashi in Bava Metzia that seems to say the exact same thing? That's the Rav Moshe's question that he's dealing. That's the Shaila in Chiluk Aleph of Or HaChaim, Siman Chaf, right? So way, way early from Luban. And he responds by giving a distinction. I won't get into it now. But the pshat that he gives in the middle is important. He says, V'yifari shehu ikar tam bezeh, shenechshav mitzvah, v'lachim be'elu shebizman hachur... He says, what was Rabbeinu Yonah suggesting? That at the end, you wanted to come lishma. Meaning, do I like learning? If I talk to like a kid, Shana Aleph, right? Do you like learning? Well, I don't like learning. I want to like learning or something like that, right? That's generally the place that they're being. So everybody's like, well, then you're in a good place, right? You might not be lishma now, but hopefully you're getting to that place. V'yafari shehu ikar tam bezeh, right? Shenechshav mitzvah v'lachin be'elu shebizman hachur. Right, first shehu ikar tam bezeh. Therefore, it's considered to be a mitzvah. V'lachin be'elu shebizman hachurban. So what about these guys at the time of korban? I mean, they're doing it anyways. He says Hashem knew. He says, those guys that were learning during the time of the Korban of the Second Beis HaMikdash, Hashem knew that they weren't going to be able to make it. They weren't going to be able to bridge that gap. Right. How do you know? How do you know that distinction? So we don't necessarily know, and certainly it's hard to identify with somebody else. Hashem knows. Right. Hashem is able to know, and he was able to see that their thinking is that this is not going anywhere. And he says, and it's not that they forgot Birchas HaTorah that indicates. He says, no, because of their lack of chashivas, that's what caused them to have to not do Birchas HaTorah. I mean, the Birchas HaTorah was not a siba; it was a simon. Right? It was demonstrating the fact that they just were not holding where they were supposed to hold. So, putting this together, right? So our bottom level is you're doing it as a negative, right? That's bad, and you know, placentas are going to be thrown on your head, and that's like a really bad thing, right? Next step up then is, well, you're doing it for some amount of money, right? There's a money, or there's some kind of benefit that you're getting, but mitok shelo lishma bo lishma is not just a fact; it's a motivation, meaning that as long as that's part of it, so you're in a pretty good place. Now, the Messias Yesharim continues on and says, the next level up is the person really is doing it lishma, but often is not quite there in that, and it gives the story of, I forget, the woman that the Gemara talks about, a woman that was walking by these Rabbanim, and these Rabbanim said, oh, look at her, like she's so tsanua. And the Gemara says that she like straightened herself up at that point. So Mrs. Yashar, some interpret that as a bad thing with her, right? That she was acting naktsinut. And Mrs. Sharma actually explains it in a positive way, right? As Rabbi Bieberfeld points out in his Pirush on Mrs. Yashar that he also came out with. So right, so in that she sort of speak like covered herself a little bit more, but it was in like a show offy type of like she was showing off that she was a tsanua. That's the way the Mrs. Yashar understands it. He says, yeah, she was lishma, but there's a taruvus. So there's like a little bit of a mixture in it, and then hopefully you're able to get to like the highest point where there actually is a full-fledged lishma. How to get there is a little unclear. Sometimes there's a story in Rabbi Riskin's book about his memoirs where he tells the story that when he they had like a smicha lunch when he was finishing smicha, and he was a speaker, so he sat next to the Rav. And he said to the Rav quietly, like, can you have any etzos for a banim or something like that? I forgot what the first two were. But the third one he said was, and rabbis have to make sure to give tzedakah every once in a while. He's like, what do you mean? Of course. He's like, no, but you'll see. You're going to be the rabbi of a very large shul, and you're going to have a very large discretionary fund, and you have to make sure that you give money every once in a while too. Right? That's true. That there is an aspect if someone needs money in my community, so I got to figure out who I'm going to raise it from, right? Not necessarily how I'm going to pay it, right? Because and you're also trained often as a rabbi. It's often like we try to parlay different types of things. Like, how do I get the most exposure out of this thing? Because that's going to help me in other ways, etc. So sometimes it has to be, I'm not parlaying anything, and I'm not going to expose anything. There has to be sort of an internal thing that you're doing that's totally lishma as well. Like when I have some of these conflicts, I'll say to my wife, like what would a tzaddik do? Like if this was the if they were confronted with this situation, like what is the really lishma type of thing? It's not always so easy to figure out. And just to sort of tie in the end part, so the Rav has this sefer that came out a while ago. I talk about, I don't know, I'm not sure if it's Lola Shema, if you speak at a program, they give you a book after. I'm not sure about that. But he discussed, in this book, collectively, he has his notes. Apparently he gave classes in Pirkei Avos in Wurzweiler or something. I don't know how any of these things came about, but there's a parish to the first four Mishnayos of Pirkei Avos. There's a long thing in there about it, as well as and he talks about this issue, and he suggests, I read through this paragraph a bunch of times and still not exactly sure I'm 100% getting it. But why does the idea of not getting a reward lead to a lack of Torah Shabbat? Huh? And his suggestion is that the Tzdukim and Baitusim, they were really a political movement. Anytime you're talking about a political movement, so you're in the realm of politics, it's always about what you're going to be able to get and what you're going to be able to give. What exactly is the exchange that's going on? And that does not lend itself to Torah Shabbat Peh. Torah Shabbat Peh is a way of life. Torah Shabbat Peh is the idea of Avodas Hashem, as he was talking. Not necessarily Mitzvah Hashem, not necessarily Torah Hashem, as Rabbi Klein was talking about, but rather Avodas Hashem in general. The idea of living a holistic life of Avodas Hashem, right? So that is, right, how do you fill in the gaps between mitzvos? So that is the definition of Torah Shabbat Peh. So if you're going to remove the equations, if you're going to say, well, everything really, their complaint is there has to be reward, there has to be punishment, so then if it's all about reward and punishment, so then you're left with it's all about do's and don'ts, as opposed to living a holistic Torah life. So now you've been already 30 for a couple of months, apparently, right? As you head into this decade of challenge, so hopefully you'll be able to navigate your way through and know that not just to do the Maisa Mitzvahs, not just the Torah Hashem, not just the learning Torah Hashem, Mitzvah Hashem, but also to do the Avodah Hashem, to live an entire holistic life of serving a Kodesh Baruch Hu, and hopefully it'll come out that it was Lishma all along as well. So, Yashikoch, everybody for coming on a Sunday, Yashikoch to all your wives for letting you coming out on a Sunday, and we'll figure out another time to maybe get together as well.